Wow, there's more people here now than there were in Sunday school. I think when we came here the first time 4 or 5 years ago, and I am so thankful to Caleb Lindsay for sending us here. How many of you know Caleb Lindsay? Wow, what a wonderful friend. He called my wife one day. We were driving. He said, "Hey, I want you to go to a church. I told the pastor about you. His name's Kevin Sexton. Yeah, I want you to go." And he said, "When's your schedule free?" And I said, "We'll make time to come. We'll come." Anything Caleb asks me to do, I try to do, because he's been such a blessing to me. And I'm so glad he brought us here and we've become friends. And your church is an encouragement. You help us keep going. Your prayers, your support. There might be some of you that are new. You haven't seen me before. I want to make sure everybody knows this one sign. So just put your left hand out in front of you like this. Put your right hand up over it like this. Go like that. That means amen. 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 God is good. Amen. Amen. Okay. Okay. I hope you'll get this. You feel free to sign amen. And when I'm gone, I'm somewhere else preaching, and Pastor Sexton says something good from God's word, you just sign amen. Again, I want to thank you for allowing Timothy to come and share his testimony. An important part of our ministry is having Timothy. Especially when my wife had to stay home and take care of Amanda. A lot of places we traveled, she couldn't take Amanda. We can't take her into old, musty buildings, churches that are mustier. She reacts so severely to that. When we know that a church has an old building, I can't take my wife because Amanda has to stay home. Timothy's been interpreting and translating for me, and that's been a lot of help to me as I travel. And he's allowed me to continue to do the work of the ministry, and we thank you. Pray for him. Pray about supporting him, and it would be a help to us if you help him. Now, it's Mother's Day today. And I had another message planned, but the Lord just kept speaking to my heart about this message, and I'm just going to follow what he's put on my heart. We just had Easter last month, and during our family devotions, I started reading through a series of verses in Matthew, and I got really excited about the things the chapter had to say. And last night I was thinking over those things and thinking about Mother's Day, and I feel like this is what the Lord put on my heart for this morning. So we're going to open to Matthew chapter 28, and we're going to read verses 1 through 8. And let's stand, Matthew 28. One more. Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 8. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord had descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, and there ye shall see him. Lo, I have told you." And then verse 8, "And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run and bring his disciples word." Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for Jesus' death on the cross. What a tremendous thing. Lord, thank you for mothers and for Mother's Day that we can celebrate today. Bless every mom that's here. And Lord, I ask you especially to help my message to be clear, help my wife to interpret clearly. I pray the Holy Spirit will guide us in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Matthew 28 is a wonderful chapter. It describes to us the resurrection of Jesus Christ following his crucifixion. There's a few things I just want us to look at this morning. If we go back to verse 1, it says, the end of the Sabbath day began to dawn. Toward the first day of the week came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. First here, we see the women. There's two women here. If you look in the book of Luke, we will find that there was also another woman, Joanna, that came with them, and then the other woman. So we know there were at least four women that came that day to see the sepulcher of Jesus Christ. Where were the men? Where were the disciples? Now, if you look at in the last few days have been terrifying times. Do you understand? The soldiers have come and they've arrested Jesus. They've tried him. They've crucified him in a brutal death. The disciples have they think that they stole Jesus' body by night. They're afraid, and this is a powerful empire, powerful kingdom, Rome, and they've wreaked havoc on these people. And then morning comes. Where's the disciples? We don't know. They might have been home scared. But there were four women, two in this passage, who said, we're going to be brave. We're going to go and see. We're going to go and anoint his body. I commend those women. These are some wonderful women. And today in our churches across our country, thank God for the women. Thank God for the mothers. You have a hard job. You raise your children. Many of you have raised your children and even become grandmothers. Timothy praised his mother and his grandmother, Eunice and Lois. He wonderfully recognized them. Now, I don't know your story. There's a lot of different stories of mothers. There's a lot of things that come under the description of mother and even grandmother, and I praise the Lord for all that. But not just mothers, but mothers that are in the church. This is a very unique church. You are filled with men and women and grandparents and children. This is a wonderful church. But as I travel our country today, I see many churches where you only find the women. You only find the pastor and 10 ladies still faithful. I don't know where the men are going. I don't know where they are. The women are doing the hard work. The women are bearing the load. The women are doing that. And I thank God for those women. When I pastored a deaf ministry at Trinity Baptist Church in Jacksonville, there was a lady there named Opal Player. Opal was an interpreter. I talked with her and asked her how she got started. She said, well, when they started the deaf ministry at the church back in 1958, I was 9 years old, and they said there was going to be a sign language class, and I joined that sign language class, and I started learning sign language. And then I started following after the deaf ministry and watching people interpret, and I started going to deaf Sunday school. And while she was there, she was the main interpreter for 17 years while I was there, but she's been interpreting now for 68 years. 3 or 4 years ago, she had a heart attack. It was serious enough. She had to have a triple bypass surgery, and now she's not able to interpret like she could. But she had a heart, and she loved that deaf ministry. And I thank God for Opal Player, willing to interpret for all those years. And because of her dedication, so many deaf were saved. There's a lot of stories of women that we could tell. Last January, it was a 70-year anniversary of the death of Nate Saint and Jim Elliott down in Ecuador. A group of missionaries went down to try and reach a tribal people down there, and they were trying to access this tribe, and instead the tribe killed the five men. It was a horrible, horrible tragedy. The women were grieved. They went to the funerals of their husband, and then Elizabeth Elliot went back to complete the work. Eventually, she moved right into that tribe that had killed her husband and four other missionaries, and she continued the work, and that work is still there today, 70 years later. Elizabeth Elliot is with the Lord, but the work's still there, and I thank the Lord for a woman. You should thank the Lord for the women you have here in your ministry, your pastor's wife and the work she does, your deacon's wives, the widows, the women that work here. Thank God for the women that work. Encourage them. Across America in deaf ministries, usually it's women that learn sign language, and usually the one who does all the work is a woman. It's usually women that have a passion to reach the deaf and make sure they hear the gospel. Women work very hard to become interpreters and interpret. These women went to see the sepulcher. And then the next thing I want us to look at is in verse 4. I'm sorry, it was verse 5. And the angel said unto the women, fear not, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. First we see the women, and then we see there's fear. Oh, this is a fearful thing, but these women have determined, we've got to go see Jesus. We're going to go anoint his body. They've buried him. We're going to need to go. And so they went, and you know they come, and they find the stone is rolled away, and the soldiers are so afraid they've fallen down as dead men. And here come the women, and what does the angel say to them? Fear not. Fear not. Because there's fear. These women were bold enough to overcome their fear. They were going to see Jesus, but the Bible shows us that they were afraid. And, you know, if we're saved and we're involved in the work of the Lord, you're not going to live without fear. There's going to be times where there's fear. When I got saved, a year later, I went to deaf camp. And there I surrendered to preach at deaf camp. And the man that led me to the Lord was Reggie Rempel, or that helped me with the surrender was Reggie Rempel. And he said, where's the leader of your deaf ministry? Where are you from? I said, from Florida. Who's your leader? And I pointed out our director, and he went to him, and he said, praise God, John surrendered his life to serve the Lord. And I'm like, yeah. And he said, John, when you go back home in Sunday school, you need to be faithful to church. You need to be there Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. You understand? And I said, yes. He said, if God's called you, you need to start teaching the deaf. I'm like, no way. I only knew a few signs. Deaf people thought I was horrible. I couldn't even sign. And they said, we want you, you take him and you let him start teaching Sunday school. I thought there was absolutely no way. I got on the bus. I was scared to death going home. I thought, no way, we can't do this. We can't do this. All the way home, I hoped they'd forget. Lord, please help them forget. Couple weeks went by, 3 weeks, and nobody said anything. But then one day the Sunday school teacher said, I remember at camp, John, you said you surrendered to the Lord. Ah, they remembered. Why? And he said, we want you to start teaching the deaf. And I said, I'm 14. I don't even sign good. I can't do that. They said, that's okay. When's your birthday? I said, September 25th. I wish it was the following year, but it was coming up. And they said, oh, okay, that's in 2 months. Perfect. After your birthday, you could start teaching Sunday mornings in Sunday school. I said, no. They said, yes. What do you teach? I don't know. I mean, look at this thing. My teacher should just find something that God speaks to your heart about, and you just tell them. Right. There were too many things in the Bible. I didn't know what to say, and I couldn't sign either. I hated it. I was afraid. You know, that happens to us. We're afraid. Fear is a natural thing. God has given us a responsibility to go and tell a lost and dying world about the gospel, and we don't go because we're afraid.
that guy looks pretty tough, and he's got too many piercings for my taste. And that one over there looks friendly, and it seems friendly, and then you get over there, and you say, hi, how are you? And they, nice to meet you, and then, I'm a Christian, I go to church, oh, that's wonderful, and it was easy. But we get afraid. Fear is natural. I read a book about fear. The author said in the book, the word fear, or not afraid, or afraid, any form of fear is found 365 times in the Bible. Now, that's interesting. We live 365 days a year. The Lord knew we needed that fear not every day. Every day. We fear, we fear, we fear. We're humans. It's natural that we would fear. But the angel speaks to Mary and the other Mary, and he says, fear not. Fear not. That's an encouragement that we should have today. Our world is a mess. It's a mess. Gas prices are going up and up and up and up and up. Why now? Why now? My wife and I have to go to Indianapolis every month to see this doctor from Florida to Indianapolis and back. When we started out last year, gas was $2.40 a gallon, and we were praising the Lord. And now gas in Indianapolis is $4.89. That's high. You stand there at the pump and you watch that thing spin. I mean, it's... You're at $65 and you got half a tank, you know, $35 a month ago, and now fear. We have fear, not just the gas prices. Our daughter goes to this holistic doctor. Nothing's covered by insurance, nothing. We have to pay that out of pocket. There's other doctors we saw that were covered, but they didn't help us. We had to go see this one. How much does it cost? How much does it cost? It costs. It costs. It just keeps stacking up. It costs. And we fear, don't we? We fear. It's natural that we fear. We face fears, all kinds of situations, wars going on. How about Iran and Israel and all that's going on in the Middle East and the vote that's coming up in November? What if we get the wrong guy in office? And we fear things. We face fears every single day. But as we read our Bible, it helps us know what to do. Come with me now down to verse 6. We'll be in verse 6. And the angel says, he is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. I believe this is one of the greatest verses of the entire Bible. Amen, 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 amen. He's not here, for he is risen. Come and see the place where, come and look. He's gone. He's not there. The body of Christ is gone. He's alive forevermore. Everybody. It changes everything. Yes. He's gone. 3 days ago, he was dead. 3 days ago was one of the saddest days in history. I'm sure his mother was discouraged. The disciples were so discouraged. They thought he was going to be the King of Kings. They thought he was the Messiah come to overturn the Roman Empire. And now he's dead. And the miracle worker is dead. The guy that was going to free him from the government is dead. How discouraging.
And here they come to the sepulcher with some oil. And the angel says, fear not. Let me show you something that's going to help you. He's not there. He's gone. He's gone. Praise God. He is gone. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. Thank the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15. If Christ be not risen from the grave, our faith is in vain. But he arose. He arose. And now our faith is invested in something worthwhile. Because of Jesus Christ, we have the gospel. What is the gospel of Jesus Christ? Many say good news. The good news about what?
1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 4 tells us that it is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. These three. It's not baptism. It's not church membership. It's not trying to be good. It's simply putting your faith in the death of Jesus on the cross for our sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day and is alive forevermore. It changes everything.
I was born to a family that was Lutheran. They took me to church. I was christened when I was a little baby. I was always in church. I was a good boy. But it's not by works of righteousness which we have done.
In the eyes of the Lord, our works are as filthy rags. There's nothing we can do. My works can't save me. Your works cannot save you. It doesn't matter how good you are, how bad you are, you can't go to heaven on your own. There's nothing you can do. You only can put your faith and trust in the person of Jesus Christ and be saved. The book of Ephesians tells us, for by grace are you saved through faith. And not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. There's nothing you can do. This morning, if you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior, he offers you a free gift of eternal life, and it's for you. If you don't know what it means to be saved, come this morning and let this pastor know. I don't know if I'm going to heaven. I've tried to be good. I've tried to go to church. I'm trying to get it right. Let us show you from the Bible what it means to be saved. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Only in Jesus Christ can you be saved. Amen. He's not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. This trumps every religion in the world. You know what happens to popes? They die. Yes. All right. Everybody dies. Jesus died. But 3 days later, did the Pope rise again? Nope, he didn't. He's still dead, still there. You can go to the Vatican. They got sepulchers everywhere over there of people who are still dead. You can go to the grave of Muhammad. I'm not even sure where he's buried, but wherever it is, they got his grave, and he's still in there dead. The Mormons followed Joseph Smith. He started his thing in New York and ended up in Utah, whatever he put together, and his the Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints. Well, he's dead, and he's still dead. And they had Brigham Young. He came along, and he had 69 kids, and he thought that was going to get him to heaven. There's not one word in the Bible about how many children you have gets you to heaven. Not a word. You could search that cover to cover through and through. It's not there. If you have 69 children, you get to go to heaven. You don't. Dead is still dead. When we went to Japan, oh, wow. They follow Buddha. 89% of the people are Buddhists. Buddha's dead. He's dead. But Jesus Christ rose again and is alive forevermore. Amen? Now the angel wants to encourage them. He tells them that Jesus is alive. If you've got fear, you don't need to be afraid, because we have a risen Savior. Now, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? Look at verse 7. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. Would the angel say to these women, two women, the four women, I know you're afraid, go. Well, wait a minute, I'm afraid. Let me calm down first. Wait, I'm not ready yet. I don't feel comfortable yet. Wait, my emotions are in upheaval. Wait until I work it out, and then I'll go. No, he said to these women, go quickly and tell the disciples. And the women went. You know what's more? He says, Jesus is going to go before you. He's going to go before you. You know, you think you're running off to some place you've never been to before, but when you get there, he's there. He goes before you. You don't have anything to fear. That same Jesus that the angel was speaking of today, if he were here today, he would say, go into the city of Jamestown, go into Tennessee and tell them what helped them. Go. Go quickly. But I'm afraid. Go. Go. Look at verse 8. And they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy and did run to bring his disciples' word. Do you see this? Do you see this? They obeyed him. They just went. They went with the fear. With the fear. He didn't say go. They just went with great joy. He said they went afraid, but they went anyway. They had joy. What a paradox. Fear and joy mingled together, but there they went. When the Sunday school teacher said, John, you're going to need to teach the deaf. I said, no, no, no. He said, pray. I prayed for 2 months. I prayed every day, Lord, let me die. Please let them forget. I studied for a lesson. I looked all over the Bible. I found a lesson. I couldn't sign that well. I prayed and prayed and prayed. I was so nervous. I was so nervous. The closer that day came, I didn't want it to come, but the day came. Wasn't ready. I didn't want to teach. I was terrified. They were all excited. John, it's your day. John, remember, you surrendered to preach. You're going to teach today. Come on, come and teach for us. I wanted to tell him, no, you know, you sign so much better. Just stay there. You do it. You do that. I'll give you my lesson and you teach it. I got up there shaking like a leaf. People say, do deaf people stutter? Yes. Look. Yes. It was awful. I had 30 minutes to teach. I taught for 10 and sat down. It was awful. My teacher got up and said, John, that was wonderful. You can teach again next month. I was like, you lied. It was awful. It was awful. It came up again. And again, and I was still afraid, and again, and again, and again. But the joy of knowing Jesus Christ and doing something, you do what he wants you to do. Today, pastors ask me, can you preach tomorrow? Yes, Lord, I'm still afraid. What am I going to say? Lord says, but Lord, I'll do it for you. I'm going to go. I'm going to come. When I went to... I went to a camp for hearing kids in the wilds, North Carolina. Wonderful Christian camp. I got there. They had a whole bunch of deaf people there, about 20. The speaker that week was Ron Hamilton. How many of you know who Ron Hamilton is? They called him Patch the Pirate. He was famous for Christian children's music programs. And the deaf always asked the obvious, so everybody asked him about the patch he was wearing on his eye, and he told us he had cancer and had his eye removed, and they'd taken it out, and he was waiting for a glass eye to replace it. And he asked us if deaf people like music. We said, well, not so much. There were a few hard of hearing that a little bit more, but deaf people like me, profoundly deaf, they don't care a whole lot for music. But he wanted to explain music to us, so he brought us over to the piano, and he had us put our hands on the piano. He explained the notes and all the different things. We didn't understand it. But he tried his best to explain music to us. He loved it. We enjoyed getting to spend time with him. Years later, I saw how his music went all over the world, and he reached so many children for Christ. But on the last day of camp on Friday, Ron Hamilton came, and there were about 20 deaf there. But he said, the Sunday school teacher and your deaf director said, there's a deaf guy here that's called to preach. I was like, ugh, why did they have to tell him that? You know, they all started pointing at me. He said, I'm so glad God called you to preach. He said, don't just preach to deaf people. Preach to the whole world. You go and you preach to hearing people too. I thought, how in the world? Nobody's going to understand me. He said, you just obey the Lord and you go preach it. I'll use music for the Lord, but you preach for the Lord to the deaf and the hearing. And I thought, oh, yeah, right.
You know what I'm doing today? You're all hearing people. Praise the Lord. It's not easy. I'm afraid. But I have great joy. It's great joy to come, to get to meet you, to get to work together, to be laborers together with God, that we can carry the gospel to the deaf around the world because you give and because you help us and because you pray for Amanda. I'm so thankful to be here with fear and great joy. You know, whatever it is in your life, who was the new guy that you said is called to preach? Was his name Zach? Who'd you say was called to preach? Young. Hold on. If you're afraid, don't stop. Just go preach. If you're afraid, God asks you to do something and you're afraid, do it anyway. Just go. God has given us the commandment to go. We're supposed to go with the gospel. You're afraid. That's okay. Be afraid. That's fine. Still go. Give people the gospel.
They need to hear the words of Christ. Pray for the Holy Spirit. Lord, I'm afraid. Help me to tell people about Jesus Christ. Yeah. We need to go. Even if you're afraid, we still need to go.
In verse 7, we see the word go. And now, if you would come with me down to verse 10. Then Jesus said unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there they shall see me.
Again, not just the angel, but now Jesus comes and tells these ladies, don't be afraid. Go. Go and tell the disciples. Go. I'm here. Go. Two times. Now let's look again in verses 18, 19, and 20.
And Jesus came and said unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things which I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world.
The third time he says, go. Go. I remember back when I was in college, I had a teacher who said, if you say something one time, 90% of the people will still forget it. If you say it two times, 50% of the people will forget it. If you say it three times, then 95% of the people will remember it. The Lord knows us. He knows we're dumb and we forget things easily. So three times he says to us, go, go, go. Amen. He doesn't only say go. He says, fear not. He says a second time, fear not. And then a third time he says, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. I've got all the power. I'm going to give it to you. Go. Yes. Go. You might be afraid. But just go. You might not want to. Just go. You might meet a deaf person and you don't know sign language. They might just walk off. Get your phone out. Yeah. Type with them. I'm hearing, but I'd like to talk with you about Jesus. Deaf people love to use their phone because they can communicate with people. A lot of times, you know, the deaf won't want to talk to somebody that's hearing. But you can pass out a little track. This is a track that we took with us to Japan. It has a QR code of the gospel in sign language on the back with my wife interpreting. I can just give somebody this. They could scan it on their phone and they can hear the gospel right there. Go. Today, it's 2026. We live in a terrifying world. People don't like church anymore. The government doesn't like Christians anymore. It's getting worse and worse. It's so different than it was 50 years ago when being a Christian was a respectable thing. Now it's a disgrace. Public school doesn't want anything to do with Christians, doesn't want the gospel brought in. It's scary. Go. Go. Go.
Why do we go? He is not here. For he is risen, as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. Amen. Let's pray. Stand with me. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for this passage where we learn about these women. Lord, I thank you for women in our churches that carry the load of work that they do. God, bless the women that serve you. That because you rose, it's worth serving you. Lord, for this church, Lord, maybe there's some of us that are afraid. Fear is such a real thing, but Lord, help us not to stop because we're afraid. Help us to go and give the gospel, to obey you and go. And Lord, most importantly, maybe there's someone here that's never been saved. Lord, help them to understand that only in Jesus Christ can they be saved. Help them to come and just let us know this morning, I'm not sure if I'm saved. Bless the pastor as he comes now to finish the service. In Jesus' name, amen.